The book of Genesis, the 17th chapter, and the 18th verse. Genesis 17 and the verse 18, it says, it's the words of our text. And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. I'd like you to know the name and the story of a missionary of a bygone day by the name of Samuel Zwemer. I'll tell you a little about him in the course of the message this morning, but I'd like to encourage you to buy the book and to read the story, the entire story, for yourself. Samuel Zwemer was from a Dutch background, but he was brought up in the United States of America in the latter part of the 19th century. His father was a godly man. His father was a minister in the Dutch Reformed Church. And Samuel was the 13th child born into that family. A few families like that would soon fill the pews in the church. As a young man, when he was studying at college, he felt the call of God to missionary service. And whenever he told his mother how God was speaking to him and how God was leading him, she revealed to him that when he was born, just a moment or two after he was born, she dedicated him to the Lord, and she especially dedicated him to the Lord's service. And as she had placed him in the cradle, she did so with this prayer, that God might make him a missionary, that he might grow up to be a missionary of the cross. And she told him in what he was saying to her, as God was leading him, that God had answered those prayers, the first prayer that she had ever offered for her son. And I especially want to stress to you that Samuel Zwemer became known as the Apostle of Islam. And he became known as the Apostle of Islam because God led him to be a missionary among the Muslim people. Along with two other men, one was a fellow student. His fellow student's name was James Canteen. The other man was one of his college professors who he'd become very close with, John Lansing. Lansing had lived for a number of years in Egypt, and his counsel and advice was invaluable to the other two young men. But those three men had a burden to reach Arabia, the homeland of Islam, with the gospel message. Zwemer and Canteen approached different missionary societies, and they approached those missionary societies asking to be sent by them as missionaries to the Muslim people. But not one of those missionary societies would agree to take them on. Every missionary society that they approached refused their application. The response generally was this: it was foolish for them to want to go to such a fanatical people with the gospel. Isn't that sad? The result of all of that was this: those three men founded their own missionary society, and they named it the Arabian Mission. Zwemer's primary field of service for several years was the island of Bahrain, out there in the Persian Gulf. Although he did labour in other lands as well. For example, he spent quite a bit of time in Basra, in the land of Iraq. You still hear of Basra on the news today. I want to point out to you that the words of our text, Genesis 17, verse 18, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. These words were the motto text of that new missionary society. And I want to stress to you, brethren and sisters, this morning, the reality that the Arabian mission needs to be reborn in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Because if you think of the Muslim people, this is a vast, to a large extent, unoccupied mission field. As we look out upon the Muslim world today, we have to re-echo the words of the Saviour and say, the harvest is plenteous, but the labourers are few. And I pray that through a little of what is said, the message that is brought this morning, I pray that you might get a vision for that mission field today. I pray the Lord might lay it upon your heart. I want us to think for a moment or two this morning about missions to Muslims, even as it's set forth in the portions that we have read from the scriptures today. You think for a moment or two, first of all, of the population of Muslims. If you look there at the words of verse 20 of the chapter, it says, "And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes." Think of how that compares with the 12 tribes of Israel. "But 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." If you notice especially there the words in the middle of the verse, "and will multiply him exceedingly." You don't need me to tell you that those words have been clearly fulfilled, exceedingly abundant. Ishmael's children have been multiplied exceedingly. I want you to stop for a moment and consider this fact with me. Remember, there's over 7 billion people in the world. The world's population now is well in excess of 7 billion people. And of that 7 billion, almost one quarter, almost 25% of those people are Muslims. That's a staggering fact, men and women. A staggering fact. That is something in the region of 1.7 billion Muslims. And I want to urge you to take that in. And as you think of that number, I want you to think today of the greatness of the mission field that lies before us. There are at least 20 countries in the region of North Africa and in the Persian Gulf where 90% plus of the population is Muslim. In some cases, in countries like Saudi Arabia, 100% of the population are Muslim people. I want you to see that, brethren and sisters. There's a vast number of Islamic people in this world. But especially as you think of the staggering size of this religion today, what I want you to think about is this: their souls. The souls to be reached. The souls to be saved. The Savior said, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them. We looked at those words maybe a month or so ago at the Sunday morning meeting. Can I ask you, do you see the multitudes today? And especially in the context of our theme, our message this morning, do you see the multitudes of Muslims? And as you see them, are you moved? Are you moved with compassion, a concern for them? Again, the Savior said, lift up your eyes and look. And I want to urge you men and women to do that. Don't be careless. Don't be indifferent. Don't be hard-hearted to them. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. See the work to be done and the souls to be reached. Samuel Zwemer, to a large extent, had a threefold ministry. He engaged in evangelism. He sought to bring the gospel to Muslim people himself and to win their souls to the Saviour. He also engaged in a writing ministry. He was a prolific writer. He wrote a book a year in addition to all his other labours. He wrote a book a year for over 50 years. Many of them are still available. Just type the name Samuel Zwemer into Amazon and the vast majority of them will come up, a lot of them reprinted in recent days. He also founded and edited a quarterly magazine called The Muslim World. And he did all of that writing and printing to educate Christian people in the beliefs of Islam in order to equip them to go forth to evangelize Muslims. The other strand or thread of his ministry was recruitment. He went to meetings and to churches and to conferences as often as he could to challenge other Christians to go to labour for Christ among the Islamic people. And today, brethren and sisters, I want to do the same thing in this meeting. I want to plead for workers for the mission field. And I want to plead for workers for this vast, largely unoccupied mission field among the Muslims. The Bible says, the New Testament says of the Apostle Paul, that he went into Arabia. I wonder, did you ever notice that? It's an interesting little detail about the early years of his Christian life. In those years in Arabia, he spent time with the Lord. There's no doubt that he preached with much blessing among those people. I think it's true to say that he founded an Arabian mission in the early years of his service for Christ. But I want to ask the question this morning, brethren and sisters. I want to ask, is there someone here and you'll get a burden for the Muslims? You'll get a burden today for Ishmael and his children. Is there someone here and, like the Apostle Paul, you'll go into Arabia too in order to bring the gospel to these Muslim people, the population of Muslims? I want you to see as well a little of the persecution by Muslims. In chapter 16, in the portion that we read, it says in that 12th verse, if you look at the words of chapter 16, verse 12, talking about Ishmael, and he will be a wild man. We sometimes use that expression. Remember, most of the expressions that we use every day come from the Authorized Version of the Bible. It says of Ishmael, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. You think of those words, wild man. The idea is that Ishmael and his descendants would be fierce, wild. They would be fighters. They would be against every man, and especially they would be against the things of God, and especially against the gospel preacher. It is true, brethren and sisters, that missionary work is often persecuted. That is true in every land, and that is true among people of every religion. There are always those who will oppose the missionary, and they will persecute the missionary, and they will oppose the spread of the gospel. But the reality is this: none are more zealous in their persecution of Christians than Muslims or Arabians, as they can also be called. Remember that Arabians have always opposed God's work. You think of those who hindered and persecuted Nehemiah when he set about the building of the walls of Jerusalem. One of those that opposed Nehemiah was a man called Geshem. And he's especially, particularly designated and described in the scriptures as Geshem the Arabian. The Muslim religion as we know it today had not then been developed in the days of Nehemiah. But remember that Geshem was a descendant of Ishmael. And his hand, like Ishmael's hand, his hand was against the cause of God. So it's true. Arabians have always opposed the things of God. I want to stress to you as well that there are none more persecuted by Islam than those who convert from Islam to Christianity. To the Muslims, that is the ultimate apostasy. That is the ultimate departure from the faith. The results for those who convert to Christianity will be serious, to say the least. At very least, they will be disowned by their family. But often, the case is, they are persecuted even unto death. Samuel Zwemer had a co-laborer called Camille. He was a convert to Islam, or convert from Islam. And he was a great asset to the work of the Arabian mission in those early days. He was a mighty evangelist. He spoke boldly for Christ among the Muslim people. And he also gave considerable help with language work. Arabic is one of the most difficult languages to learn. But one day Camille died in very mysterious circumstances. And he was taken away by his family and by the Muslim authorities. And he was buried as a Muslim. And Zwemer and his colleagues never knew the location of his grave. Despite every effort that they made, they couldn't do a thing about the circumstances that unfolded that day. What happened? Well, they feared that their friend Camille had been poisoned with the full consent and support of his own family. You see, to his family, it was a shame that he was now living as a Christian. In fact, his own father sent letters, death threats, to his own son. If he didn't come back to the Islamic religion, that he would be put to death. To them, it was a shame that he lived as a Christian. And they would rather that he died than that he continue to live in the Christian faith. Persecution by Muslims is very real. You think of how dangerous it is to go to Muslim countries and to openly witness and preach and give out gospel literature to the people. What all of that emphasizes is this, brethren and sisters, the courage needed, the great courage needed for this type of missionary work. It's not for the feeble. It's not for the fearful. It's not for the faint-hearted. There is great danger to be a missionary to the Muslim people. You think of what the Jerusalem church said about Paul and Barnabas. They described them in this way. They said they were men that had hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes that's needed. Those that are brave enough, those that are bold enough, even to put their life on the line in order to go forth and to reach others for Christ. Can I ask you this morning, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be a missionary? Would you be willing to go to the Muslims, even if to do so would cost you your life? You'd have to pay the ultimate sacrifice so to do. Think as well of the passion for Muslims. You think of the explanation or the exclamation in the text. Just one little letter. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. In the times of George Whitefield, there was a famous actor in England called David Garrick. David Garrick said that he would give 1,000 guineas to be able to say the word oh. Just that one word with two letters. He would give 1,000 guineas to be able to say that one word the way that George Whitefield did. To be able to portray on stage the feeling and the pathos that George Whitefield portrayed in the pulpit. And here, men and women, in our text, we get something of that feeling. We get something of that love, especially of the love of Abraham for Ishmael, his son. And brethren and sisters, I want to say to you, I want to emphasize that what the church needs today is something of that same love, something of that same passion for souls in general. But in keeping with our theme this morning, we need something of that love for Ishmael's descendant, something of that love for the Islamic people. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have it? Has there ever been in your heart even a little semblance of love for the souls of these people? You think of the question, what is your attitude to the Muslim people? What is the general attitude of the church to Islamic people? If we're honest, it is often the feeling of hatred. And what I want to do this morning is to warn that that's something we need to be very careful about. When we think of all the bombings and the shootings carried out in the name of Allah, we're horrified, we're disgusted, and rightly so. I want to make it clear to you, I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that we should be soft on Islam or soft on Islamic terrorists, that no action should be taken or that no stand should be made. But what I do want to plead for today is this, brethren and sisters. Don't let those events that you see in the news, you see in your television screens, don't let those events harden your heart to these people. Remember that they have a soul, and a soul that needs to be saved. And what the Church of Jesus Christ needs today is a love, a baptism of love for their souls. The first great missionary to Muslims was in the 13th century, a man called Raymond Lull. Raymond came from the island of Majorca in the Balearic Islands. There is a statue to Raymond Lull in Palma in Majorca. You look out for it if you're on holiday there over the summertime. Raymond Lull said away back in the 13th century, the Christian world did not love Muslims in the 13th century. And if we're honest, brethren and sisters, the same is true of the church today in the 21st century. There's still no love for the souls of Muslims. And that's the reason why, that there is so very little missionary activity conducted among them. Did you ever notice on the day of Pentecost, there are 15 languages, 15 peoples that are mentioned. There were peoples from 15 different language backgrounds that heard Peter preach the gospel in the power of the Spirit that day and turned to Christ. And one of those language peoples was the Arabians. It's the last one that's mentioned in the list of 15 in Acts chapter 2 and verse 11. Among that great throng of 3,000 that turned to Christ that day, there's not a doubt there were Arabian people among them. Arabians heard the gospel on the day of Pentecost. And I want to ask you, brethren and sisters, do you love the Arabians? Do you love the Muslims enough to go in the power of the Holy Ghost and to preach the gospel to them, to bring the words of eternal life, as Peter did on that memorable day, that historic day in the life of the early church? There's one other thing I'll mention, and that is the prayer for Muslims. The text says, if you look at it carefully, and Abraham said unto God, Abraham's addressing the Almighty here, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. These words, the words of our text, are the words of a prayer. Abraham's praying for his son, and particularly he's praying for the salvation of his son, for he pleads that Ishmael might live before thee. Not just live, notice the words, but live before thee. Abraham's desire for Ishmael is that Ishmael would be saved, and that Ishmael would walk with God, that Ishmael would live his days in God's presence, walk and live before him all the days of his life. And I want you to see that this prayer of Abraham's is a prayer that God answered. If you look a little further down the chapter, to verse 20, here's what the Lord says. Here's the Lord's response. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. So what that means is, before he died, Ishmael was born again. Ishmael will be in heaven. If you die in Christ and go to heaven one day, you will meet Ishmael in the glory land. And what an encouragement that is to our hearts today, brethren and sisters, to pray for Muslims to be saved. The fact is, if the father of the race, Ishmael himself, If this wild man was converted and his life transformed and changed, that encourages us to know that the same can happen in the life of any Muslim. You think for a moment, think of this. How many times in prayer meetings have you heard prayers for the Muslim world? How many times in prayer meetings have you heard prayers for Muslim people to be saved? The answer is seldom, if ever. I want you to take this prayer in your heart. Abraham, the father of the faithful, sets us a great example here of how to pray for Islamic people. And I want to urge you, take these people on your heart this morning and pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Whenever Samuel Zwemer was praying about missionary work as a college student, whenever he was asking God to guide him to a field of service, what he did was he gave an hour every day to this matter at the throne of grace. From 12 o'clock noon to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he pleaded with God. And he pleaded with God for missionary work among the Islamic people. Is it any wonder the Lord used him and his life bore such influence? And we need to do the same, brethren and sisters. We need to plead with God to turn the Muslim people to Christ. In the days of the so-called Christian Crusades, what they tried to do was convert Islam with the sword, and they failed. One of the most famous battles was at the Horns of Hittim, near to Tiberias in northern Israel. We saw the location of that battle when we were there just a few weeks ago. At that battle, Saladin led the Islamic forces and defeated the Crusader forces, and they took control. The Muslims, the Islamic people, they took control once more of the Holy Land. They tried to convert Islam with the sword, and they failed. But brethren and sisters, it's not by the power of the sword that these people will turn to God from idols. It's by the power of prayer. And we need to see that today, see it afresh. See it afresh even for our own labours. Here's where the blessing of God begins. Here's where revival begins. And I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, I want to urge you to take the place of prayer, the prayer meetings of the church. I want to ask you to take the mission fields of the church, and especially missions to Muslims. Take them on your heart in prayer today. Pray that God will save Muslims. Let that be known to be the mark of this church in days to come, that we have a love for all peoples of the earth, including the Islamic people, that in Armagh Free Church they pray for Muslims to be saved. Pray that God will do a work, a mighty work among the Muslim people. Pray that God will raise up missionaries, even if it pleased them from our midst, missionaries to go among those Islamic people. Pray that there will be open doors. You think of how difficult it is for missionaries to get in to some of those countries. We'll pray that God will open doors into some of the Muslim nations of the earth. Missions to Muslims, brethren and sisters. We have a great precedent for it here in these words that Abraham addressed to God about Ishmael's son those many years ago. Sometimes it's described as going after Abraham's other son. There's a great love for the Jewish people, and rightly so. The gospel's to the Jew first. But remember, we're not to neglect Abraham's other son and his descendants in our missionary outreach as well. Here's a vast, unoccupied mission field. Are you willing to take it on your heart? Are you willing to go and be a labourer for Christ? Just in closing, let me tell you this. Let me tell you one of the details that led Samuel Zwemer to give his life to missionary work. And maybe the Lord might use it to cause someone in this meeting to give their life to missionary work as well. During his senior year at college, a young man called Robert Wilder came to hold some meetings among those college students. And he came to present the great need of laborers for the mission field. He was thinking particularly at that time about the nation of India. And as Robert Wilder spoke, he had a map of India before him on the platform, and there was a metronome, you know, the little fellow that sits on the top of the piano to help keep time, ticks back and forth. In front of the map of India had a metronome sitting on the platform. And the metronome was set so that every time it swung, every time it clicked, it marked a person dying in India who had never heard the gospel and had never heard of Christ. And Samuel Zwemer was so affected that day by that meeting, by what was said, but especially the thought of souls been lost, souls perishing without Christ. He was so affected and so burdened that day that he made this pledge: God helping me, I purpose to be a foreign missionary. And I ask you to think, brethren and sisters, I ask you to think, especially this morning, of Muslim souls dying without Christ. And think how many have perished since this meeting began. And I pray that that may touch your heart today, so that you might pledge yourself, pledge your life, pledge whatever health and strength, whatever talents God has endowed you with, that you will pledge and dedicate and surrender those things to be a missionary, and perhaps even to be a missionary among the descendants of Abraham's son Ishmael. And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." May the Lord be pleased to write that text on every heart today. We'll try it.